I'm glad to see Brother Smith put amen on the end of the songs that we sing, where the amen occurs. Some of my brethren, or many of them, have an aversion to singing amen. And we ought to sing it. It's the truth. We can say it. And the Bible is just full of amens, or truly, truly, surely, surely, in the original language, amen. And we can say amen to what we've sung tonight.
Amen.
Good to see everyone present. This is just a fine audience. We have just a few that have gone to the Florida College camp in West Virginia, and a few more are leaving in the morning. Brother Dallas said he was trying to get Connie to go today, but she wouldn't agree to it, so he stuck with her for another night anyway.
Cool.
I'm just kidding, of course. I know you know that. We're glad for the presence of every one of you. The visitors that are among us, we're happy to see you tonight and trust this will be a blessing to you. This is a good group of people to preach to time after time. You listen well, and I'm grateful for your many words of commendation and encouragement, and every preacher needs that, and I appreciate what Brother Smith had to say a while ago about the message this morning. And we got Ezra up here. We're going to try to make a preacher out of Ezra. Ezra the scribe, I called him a while ago. And Randy's got four boys, and out of those, he might have four preachers, who knows. But let each man be his own judge, each boy as he grows up, as to what he wants to be. But we'd like to see him be preachers, and many other the young men here in the congregation. And for that matter, of course, I'm partial and prejudiced, but for that matter, all these little girls marry preachers and be preachers' wives one of these days. What a preacher needs, a good wife. And so you parents can bring your daughters up to be preachers' wives, and you bring up your boys to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking to you tonight for a few minutes. In Ephesians chapter 6 will be the basis of our study, and I entitled my study or lesson or sermon tonight, Preaching as We Ought to Preach. Beginning with verse 18, Paul says in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In other words, Paul says, don't forget me in your prayers. I need your prayers, and that's true with every gospel preacher. He needs the prayers of his brethren. And in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, and here's what I want to focus our attention on this evening, as I ought to speak. A preacher is to do the work of an evangelist. There's a work that a man has been assigned to do, and that work is an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Suffer affliction or hardship. Make full proof of thy ministry, Paul says. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And of course, there's a manner by which he's to preach the gospel. And that is reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then in Acts 4, 29 through 31, he's to speak with boldness. And in Acts 28, verse 31, when Paul was in his own hired house in Rome, he preached the kingdom of God, and he did that with confidence. But now back to our text here in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. There are several things that I want to talk about, speaking as we ought to speak, or how a preacher ought to preach. And the first thing that I call to your attention as to how a man is to preach or how he's to speak is that he should speak faithfully, as the Bible teaches, as the Word of God is set forth. Now look in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And here the apostle says to this young evangelist, Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same Now, I would to God today that preachers would speak the same thing that the Apostle Paul taught and the other inspired writers. So Paul says, you speak the same thing that you heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now notice the word faithful, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You give the gospel to men who will faithfully discharge it, faithfully preach it. And so a preacher is to present the gospel faithfully. Now there's a passage also in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verses 1 and 2. And here he talks about stewardship. Every preacher is a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means he's a caretaker of it. And he said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ or servants of Christ, and stewards or caretakers of the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God would be just another way of saying the gospel of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so, as a preacher, we're to speak faithfully the word of God. As 2 Timothy 4:2 says, as we've already quoted, preach the word. And a man who's going to preach needs to fill his heart with the word of God. Now, it's fine to study other things. And it's helpful to know other disciplines. It's helpful to know history and biology and sociology and maybe a little psychology. But I want to tell you, friend, what he needs to know more than anything else, and certainly to preach when he gets in the pulpit, is the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the Great Commission, in Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm not ashamed of that. Brother Earl Stevens prayed this morning that when I got before you, that I'd hide myself behind the cross of Christ. Now, Paul evidently was a rabbi before he was converted. At least he was schooled in the Jews' religion at the feet of Gamaliel. And he could quote the poets. He could quote the writings of the Gentile world, but friend, he said that he didn't want to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what the world needs tonight. The world is lost and going to torment, separated from God, and it's our responsibility to faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a passage that I like that's pertinent to what we're talking about right now in the Old Testament. In the book of Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 2. As you know, Jonah was commissioned to go preach to the Ninevites. And here in verse 2, God says, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, I want to tell you, friend, God has told us to go out into the world today, and we need to preach the preaching that God has given unto us. It was the Apostle Paul who said in Galatians, the 1st chapter, do I now persuade God or men? If I seek to please men, then I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. Wherever Paul went, he had one thing in mind, and that was to please Jesus Christ, that he could sanction and approve his message. He wasn't a man pleaser. He was interested in pleasing God who tried his heart. There's a statement also in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. The apostle says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, let me tell you, friend, God has chosen us to be soldiers, or chosen us to be preachers of the gospel, and we need to endeavor to please him who has chosen us to set forth the good news of Jesus the Christ. Now, there's little praise in this world for a faithful preacher. And there's a temptation to succumb, you know, to the applause and the accolades of people. But I know what Jesus said in Luke the 6th chapter and about verse 26. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. If we're trying to please, to win popularity, to gain friendship of the people of this world, if that's our motive, if that's our aim, then we're going at it totally in the wrong way. Certainly we should rejoice when people are pleased with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like to see people happy with what I have to say. But I'm not going to alter or rest or misconstrue the scripture in order to win the praise of men, those who hear. We need to think about what God says, or what God thinks about what we preach. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he went into the world, he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. He had his accusers. He had his enemies. And they were saying that he was preaching the gospel or preaching simply for the gain, or he was a man pleaser, or he was a pseudo apostle. And he was also accused of being a mover of sedition and profaning the temple in Acts the 24th chapter. But that didn't deter him. That didn't thwart his efforts. He had his aim on heaven itself, the goal that was set before him, and he didn't shrink from that, you see. And he kept right on keeping on preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, friends, that's what we need today in the pulpit. That's what we need in the church, men who will faithfully preach or proclaim the old, old story, how Jesus came and died for our sins. And through his blood, we can have a redemption of our souls and go to heaven in the after while. That's the need tonight, to save the world. And yet, we have men who seem to enjoy preaching hobbies and obscurities and speculations and their personal opinions and ideas. I have opinions about things, but I believe it was Fred Dennis I heard say years ago. He said, it's all right to state an opinion, but said, when you give it, tag it as such. And I always remember that, and that's so. What we need to do is get back to this book that is clear and plain and preach it. There'd be a plenty of preaching just to preach what's set forth clearly and explicitly in this Bible instead of endless genealogies and our own ideas and speculations and hobbies. And we've got a lot of hobbies, a lot of hobbyistic preachers in the church today. And instead of promoting the cause of Christ, they are hindering it and setting it back, and people get discouraged and just completely quit or won't pay any attention to what they have to say. We need to preach it faithfully. But let me suggest furthermore that we need to preach fully. Now I'm talking about how a preacher ought to preach. As we ought to speak, we need to speak, preach fully. In Acts the 20th chapter and verse 20, someone said this is 2020 vision. I like that. Here in Acts 20 verse 20, how I kept back nothing. Now, a preacher, when he stands before an audience, should keep back nothing for their own benefit. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, Paul wasn't interested in whether he kept his money coming in or not. He wasn't interested in his prestige. He was interested in what was profitable for the people. So he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Now drop down to verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now that's a momentous task, friend. That's a grave responsibility of declaring the whole counsel of God. In fact, it's a frightening thought when we consider all of the Bible subjects. A preacher would have to prepare himself in many areas. He'd have to study about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the church, sin, discipline, worship, godly living, heaven and hell, and on and on and on it goes. And that's why we need to study. The main obligation or main responsibility of a preacher is to study the scriptures and proclaim it. And that requires some time. And he needs to buy some books and just get into the study and privacy and burn, as we used to say, the midnight oil. That's the only way we're going to learn it. My duty is to preach. Preach what? Preach the word. But if I'm going to preach the word, I've got to know the word. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved. Now I know in the Revised Version that means give diligence to show yourself approved, but included in that diligence is study. And I've got to study the scriptures so I can declare the whole counsel of God. And let me tell you something else along this line. There are babes and spiritual mature Christians in Christ, and we've got to have a diet for both of them. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 5, and beginning with verse 12 and going down through verse 14. Here, Paul, if he wrote this epistle, said, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age." So a preacher has to have a balance. And there's times he needs to teach first principles. Now, brethren, let me tell you something. I see back over the past few years a getting away of preaching the basic cardinal doctrines of the Bible. We got people who are coming into the church, we got youngsters who are growing up, need to know why they believe what they believe. Could you argue the case against instrumental music? Do you know why we don't use instrumental music? There's a reason. It isn't because of prejudice, it's a reason. How much are you schooled in the Holy Ghost and his operations? Speaking in tongues. Could you defend your position with somebody who says that speaking in tongues is for us today? These are very basic things that we need to study. My brother Rich the other day was talking to me, and we were talking about how today among the denominations it's a constant diet of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing in our lives directly, separate and apart from the Word of God. And we're exposed to that. We've got to be grounded in that. Well, a preacher needs to preach on it. I wouldn't have thought just a few years ago, brethren, that we'd be plagued or we'd be contending today of people in the church who claim they speak in tongues. I just wouldn't have thought that whatsoever. And a lot of other things that are going on. I wouldn't have thought about it a few years ago. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "You preach the word." Why? "For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine." You forearm them now. You equip them now, presently, before it ever happens, and they'll be able to cope with it when it comes along. We need to preach the word of God fully. But let me tell you something else. We also need to preach it, ladies and gentlemen, forcefully. Now, I see some preachers who just almost lay down on the job in the pulpit. I've seen some of them, just lay down. You think, well, they must be sick, got tired blood, or the anemic or something. But I think we got a wonderful message. Somebody says, "Preacher, you walk around a good bit." Well, I get all excited about what I'm saying, you see. And I enjoy saying what I'm saying. I enjoy talking about the scriptures and the word of the Lord. And I believe in doing it with fervency. I believe in doing it with force. Now look what the Bible says. In Acts the 14th chapter and verse 15. And here was Paul at Lystra. And he'd healed this man who'd been lame from his mother's womb. And here's these people, when they saw this, they thought the gods had come down from heaven, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And then down in verse 15, Paul said, among other things, "And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." That got him into trouble. But he said, you need to get out of idolatry. You need to turn away from these false, vain, lifeless gods and unto God who created the heavens and the earth. Friend, that's preaching it with force. You look here in the 17th chapter of Acts. Here it was on Mars Hill, right in the midst of all this superstition and paganism. And Paul said in verse 20, and he stood in the midst of Mars Hill, said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." And he began to point him to God, using the inscription on the unknown God, on that little statue there. That idol that said to the unknown God, he used that as the springboard for his sermon. He said, I'm going to talk to you about this unknown God. And he presented Jehovah, the creator of this universe and of mankind, in whom we breathe and move and have our very being. He presented that God, the true God, unto those people. And he said, you get away, you leave, get out of idolatry. That's forceful. My friends, that's with boldness, and that's the kind of preaching that we need today. Look at here in the 18th chapter of Acts, in verses 4 through 6. Here he is, as he came to Corinth, he reasoned in the synagogues of the Jews on the Sabbath. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Look what an uproar that caused. And when they opposed himself and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. I want to tell you, friend, the church of our Lord today needs preachers like that. And you can go back 30 years, 40 years, and I can remember hearing those old-time preachers. They had a story to tell when they got in the pulpit. And like Foy Wallace said, when he got in the pulpit, he wasn't anybody's friend. I knew what he meant by it, and that's the way we need to approach gospel preaching today. We need to open the scriptures and learn how to preach from Jesus the Lord, the perfect preacher, and his disciples who went out into the world. We need to turn back to the Old Testament and learn how to preach from Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and many of those other Old Testament worthies. That's the thing that preachers need today instead of Robert Schuller and some of these other modern men that have gone to these theological seminaries and been indoctrinated with liberalism and modernism, who've lost their faith in Jesus Christ, who are interested in making things better on this earth, who are promoting a social gospel instead of the eternal gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need men who forcefully proclaim the gospel of the Lord. Amen. In the New Testament, let me go back to the Old Testament for a passage. I like this one. In the book of Isaiah, in the 58th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the divine record says, God says to the prophet, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. In other words, warn and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. It's not always easy to show people their transgression. You're going to get in hot water, sure as the world. But I admire a man that will present the word of the Lord to try to convict or convince people of the error of their way and be ready to suffer the consequences. I remember some years ago an old preacher who was preaching over in the High Valley, and the church was filled with masons. Well, they've even dismissed their Wednesday night service if there's going to be some kind of Masonic meeting. That's how bad it was. And so he just waded right into it. And he preached a sermon on masonry. I had to admire that man because it took a lot of courage. Now, we can talk about what the Bible says. We can preach the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And everybody can sanction it and endorse it. But is it the thing that we need at the time? We need to attack sin. And I remember in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter was preaching on Pentecost, he said that you with wicked hands have crucified and slain. There's also a passage in the fifth chapter of Acts and verse 33. Let's look at the context of Acts, the fifth chapter. Back up there to about verse 31. And here is the apostle Peter. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel. What I want to point out here is verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now, what was he interested in? He was interested in getting them out of their indifference and complacency. He was interested in arousing their hearts to get them to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, Peter drawed the blood, as it were, and he cut them to the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why, sometimes people will get so angry at the preacher that they're ready to smack him at the door. But it caused them to go home and open their Bible and say, I'm going to show that old boy that he's wrong. And they begin to search and investigate. And lo and behold, they find out that he was right after all. And then they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I brought this book tonight to show what Robert Schuller said. I paid $7.95 for this. I want to get at least a dime's worth out of it. And I want to read this to you. That's about all it's worth after I bought it and read it. But anyway, on page 15 of this book, and what this author has to say, has had a lot of good things in here to say, but it says, Robert Schuller writes, I don't think anything has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity that has proven more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelism enterprise than the often crude, uncouth, and unchristian strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition. Why, poor old Peter hadn't read Schuller. Huh? He hadn't read Brother Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. Here were individuals that were engrossed in sin. He wasn't talking about, this kind of language isn't for people who are sincere, and though they may be in error, they're trying to find the truth. He's using this language against these old hard-hearted Jews, these snobs. And he says, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. And that cut him to the heart. And you know the rest of the story. They stoned him to death. Friend, what we need tonight are preachers who will forcefully preach the gospel of Jesus the Christ. But again, we also need preachers who will fervently declare the old story. In Romans 12 and verse 11, not slothful in business. Now you see the sloth as talked about the slowest animal in the world. Just barely moving up, you see. And the idea is not being sluggish or lazy. Now, some preachers are just downright lazy. They don't want to study. They don't want to do anything. They're as lazy as can be. And they have no business trying to preach the gospel if they're lazy or anything else for that matter. Some of them, like the old boy who said about a fella, he said he's give out, said he's been breathing all day. Well, that's about that's about all that some of us do, preachers, you know, have to breathe all day. But nevertheless, we're not to be sluggish, indifferent, or lazy, not slothful in business. This is the Lord's business. But fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, fervent is a word which means to see the boil over. And a preacher is to be boiling over with his work that he's got to do. I like what Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 8. Now, I want you to turn to this one and read it. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Now, here's the humility of this great apostle. He said, who am less than the least of all of the saints? Why? Because he was a persecutor of the church. He made havoc of the church. He fought against God's purpose and God's scheme of things. And he said, I feel like I'm less than the least of all the saints. Was what? Was this grace given? And the word grace means favor. Was this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? That I should make known among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul said, I consider it a favor of heaven to be able to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I want to tell you, friend, it's not because I'm doing it, but I want to tell you it's the greatest work on the face of the earth is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's greater than being anything else in my estimation. That doesn't mean that there's not other great works to do. But I get tired this day and time of the reflection upon gospel preachers, as though they're not smart enough to do anything they had to preach. Well, I grant some of us have our problems along that line far as mentality goes, but let me tell you something. Some of the great minds through the ages have been preachers. I didn't mean there haven't been other great minds. But you can go back and read some of those old timers, and they were just as sharp as could be. And those are the kind of men, by and large, that we need in the pulpit in preaching the gospel of Christ. There's a need for every kind of every personality. We need the Peters and the Johns and the Jameses. We need the Matthews. We need all of those in the pulpit, the different personality, and each one has his niche. And he can have appeal to some that another one can't have. But we need preachers. And as preachers, we should consider the grace to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ. We preach it fervently, not just a little speech. Now, sometimes preachers want to impress people just how intellectual they are. I've never been able to do that, but just how smart they are. And they want us to see, show how much Greek they can quote and how much Hebrew, you know, they can use. And they like to quote from Shakespeare and all. And I grant that Greek has its place and Hebrew words sometimes are needed, and it's all right to quote from Shakespeare if it fits the point. But just to demonstrate and exhibit this, to show how much I've learned and make a little flowery speech, friend, isn't what the Church of our Lord or the world needs tonight. It needs preachers who are gung-ho and on fire for the Lord and preaching faithfully the old Jerusalem gospel. That's the kind of preachers that we need in the pulpit. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul said, preach the word, be instant. Now, if you've got an American Standard Version, I believe it says, be urgent. And what he's saying is, he says, you stand by. Now, you know what a standby is. That means you're ready. You stand by, or you be a man of the spot. We've heard the expression, man of the hour. A preacher is to be the man of the hour. A preacher is to be a man on the spot. He's to be ready. So he's to be on standby. Now, the doctors, they're on standby many times, and they got these beepers, you know. And they're on standby, and so if there's a need at the hospital, that thing goes off, and they go get to the phone and see what's going on down there. They're on standby. They're ready always to go. A preacher is to be ready to go. Ready to do what? Ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ every time there is an opportunity. Did you hear what I said? He's to be on standby constantly, all time, to preach the gospel whenever's an opportunity. Now, friend, too many times that gets in the way. I'll preach if the pay is right. Well, you know, that never bothered Paul about whether the pay was right or not. He said, I'm just going to preach the gospel. And that's what we need to do. And a lot of times preachers determine where they're going by the pay instead of the need. It's like the old boy, he was a preacher, you know, and he got a call from a bigger church and greater salary. He said to his wife, he said, honey, what am I going to do? And she said, I don't know, dear. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll go down in the basement and pray about it, and you start packing. Well, you knew what he was going to do, you see. And a lot of preachers are like that. But we need to be on standby to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to do it fervently. Now, I want you to listen to what the Bible says. And here's a recognition of the ultimate issues that are involved in all this. And because of these issues, what's at stake? We need to be fervently preaching it. In Hebrews 10, verse 31, and Hebrews 12, verse 29. Now, those are two passages that I want you to notice as far as what are the issues at stake. In Hebrews 10 and verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of his covenant an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant worthy was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. Now in verse 31, it is fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You look it over here in chapter 12 and verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And we hear Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That should cause any preacher to preach as though he was the only one on the face of the earth that was preaching, and it was his last sermon to preach. What would you do if you had one sermon to preach? If I only had one more to preach, how would I preach it? Would I preach it with indifference? Would I preach it slowly? Would I preach it sort of lazily? Or would I say, well, with all of the vim and vigors in my body, would I preach it with a lot of fervor and enthusiasm? I believe that's the way I should preach it, and I believe that's the way I should preach every sermon. Now, time is getting away. Just hurriedly, let me suggest this. We should also preach it, ladies and gentlemen, fearlessly. Fearlessly. There are two or three passages. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Paul said to Timothy that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Now, I like that. God doesn't expect us to be afraid. In Matthew 10, and there, we need to take the whole chapter, at least part of it, into consideration, the context. Jesus said when you go out, you're going to encounter difficulties. You're going to be delivered up. You're going to be scourged. You're going to be in prison. You're even going to be put to death. Even your own family will turn against you. The religious leaders will persecute you. You'll be brought before kings and four magistrates and governors. And what does he say in all this? He says, don't you fear. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid. Friend, let me tell you something. It takes a lot of faith to go some places and preach the gospel of Christ. I admire those fellows in the Philippines. I'd be looking back over my shoulder, I think, about all time. But the thing is, there are people who have the faith to say the Lord will protect them, and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that. When Stephen stood before those folks, he preached what they needed. He lost his life, but he preached it. Paul was imprisoned, and he was persecuted, and he suffered immensely. But he went out on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing could cause him to recant and to turn back. We need fearless preachers, and not to be afraid of the negative consequences. Sometimes, you know, we're afraid, well, what's going to happen? We might lose some of our meetings, and we might get fired, and we might cause some brethren to be alienated, and on. But the thing is, we need to stand for truth and for right. I don't care what the consequences may be, and I know it's a lot easier said than done, but nevertheless, it needs to be done. Now, one other thing, and that is that we need to preach the gospel of Christ fearfully. Fearfully. Here, I've got entrusted to me the Word of God. This is the mind of God. This here book will save the world, friends, if we obey it. Jesus does the saving, but here are the instructions of how man can be saved, and it's entrusted to the preacher. Entrusted to all Christians. Right? Jude verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The saints are the custodians of the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a caretaker, as a steward, I'm to take care of this, and I'm to guard it. Even if it means my life. So says the Word of God, and so we need to preach it fearfully. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and give a reason, every man that asks you, for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. We need to preach fearfully. Well, time has come and gone. Let me just say this in closing tonight. In Romans 10 and verse 15, there's a beautiful statement about gospel preachers. And Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But there's also an awesome statement in the Bible in contrast to this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16 when he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. We need to preach the gospel, and we need to preach it, ladies and gentlemen, in the right way. I'm old enough to remember how preachers used to preach years ago. We still have several of them around, but we're losing them too, because all we're getting today out of some are talks, and there's no enthusiasm, there's no fervency, and I know a man has to speak within his personality, but I don't care who he is. He can be excited about it. He can show that. A man may be 80 years old. He can't jump around, but he can be enthusiastic about the gospel of Jesus Christ, can he not? And we ought to be that way as gospel preachers. And it needs to show in our lives. And I want to tell you something else, brethren. There needs to be, for those who are proclaiming the gospel, and it's two-way street. We need to have respect and admiration for one another in the proclaiming of the gospel of Christ. But so many times a man can go get his PhD and we praise him to high heaven, and we ought to rejoice with him. Or a man can become an engineer, or he can become a lawyer, or he can become a dentist. We think that's the greatest thing in the world. But a young man who's starting out to preach and he's not paid half of what these other fellows are paid, and he's going to give his life in the proclamation of the Son of God, we don't have much say on him. He's just a preacher. That's all he is. You see, we look at men from the standpoint of a world prestige instead of what he does for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we need to love our preachers, and we need to respect our preachers, and the preachers need to respect and love the brethren. And together, we go forth in the battle. I've talked long enough. If you're in the audience tonight, you're not a Christian. As we sing the song of invitation, we want you to come and give God your heart. Jesus loved us and died for us. And he says, come and I'll save you. You're lost in sin. You're eternally doomed unless you come to the Lord. Won't you come tonight and obey the gospel of Jesus the Christ? I pray that you will right now while we stand and while we sing.